Welcome to the Gospel meeting. The Gospel, by definition, is good news. And in this world today, we need more than ever to hear good news. Let's begin this evening with number 34. Precious, precious blood of Jesus, shed on Calvary, shed for rebels, shed for sinners, shed for me. Number 34.
Precious, precious blood of Jesus.
I believe most in this room tonight, certainly most of the adults, have believed it and have received it. And I don't know what issues there may be in various hearts and here this evening, but God does. And I know He has in His Word wisdom to address every issue in our hearts and lives. But it starts here with the blood of Jesus. You know, we don't commonly sing about blood. Blood is not a common theme of appreciated songs. But if you're going to be in glory, if you're going to be in heaven, you're going to sing about blood there. Let's turn briefly to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, and we get a view of heaven. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, and they sang a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." That's the new song. That's the song that belongs to believers, those who have a new life through the Lord Jesus Christ. The song we just sang begins with, "Precious, precious blood of Jesus shed on Calvary." I commonly speak to young people a couple of times a week who don't know what Calvary is. That's not part of their vocabulary. I have to tell them that's where Jesus was crucified. Well, they heard about Jesus. I'm not sure what crucifixion means. And Calvary doesn't register with a lot of them. I tell them it's a hill over near Jerusalem. They don't know where Jerusalem is. I tell them that's in Israel. They don't know where Israel is. I tell them that If that's in the Near East, and I don't know what that means either. And these are young people, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old. Most here know about Calvary, where Jesus was crucified. I remember singing this song as a child. And I could sing, "Precious, precious blood of Jesus." I loved the melody. And I knew what the blood of Jesus did for me. "Precious, precious blood of Jesus shed on Calvary, shed for rebels." That word didn't register with me. Shed for and for sinners. Well, I knew I was a sinner. I didn't think of myself as a rebel. But you know, as you get older, you realize we are, by nature, we are rebels. We object to what may be imposed on us sometimes. We resist authority. No, we say, "Oh, well, no, I respect authority." Well, you have to take that with some qualifications. Because people tend to try to get by with what they can get by with just the same. Shed for rebels and for sinners, shed for me. Tonight, everybody here should take this message personally. It'll bless your soul. Don't think about it as something you need, something that's needed for the person beside you, unless you know that person's not saved and you're praying for them. We're here to enjoy. Those of us who are redeemed, we can enjoy afresh what God has done, and that much more effectively witness to others. And so I look in this room, and I believe most here have heard the gospel. So tonight, take what you hear and pass it on. One more thing in connection with rebels. I was thinking about this hymn earlier, and a verse came to mind. Let's look in November and Numbers 20. Numbers 20 and verse 7. "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Take the rod and gather thou the assembly together." This is verse 8. Numbers 20, verse 8. "Gather the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give unto the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him." So far, so good. Verse 10. "And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels." Now Moses' spirit wasn't right in this. He was told to speak to the rock. It wasn't forbidden to speak to the people as well, but his attitude was wrong, but the message still resonates. "Hear now, ye rebels." Let's not resist it. Everything in God's word can be put to good use. But he was told to speak to the rock. Let's speak to the rock. You'll notice I have some things covered and one thing revealed. The words, "this night." This night is significant. This night counts for eternity, as does every moment of every life here. But this phrase occurs several times in Scripture, and we're going to read about them. There was a night that was described as this night that in many respects began like thousands of nights before it. And yet, before that night was over, thousands had unexpectedly died. Let's read about it in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, we'll start with verse 3. Well, might as well start with verse 1. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto him take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating, and make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein ye shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs and with the pertness thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover, and I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." Here is the Lord God, Jehovah, saying that he is going to execute judgment. Now, the Bible tells us that judgment is God's strange work. It's not something he likes to do. There are people who fear God because they know that he is the ultimate judge. And I want to tell you tonight that God's purpose for you tonight is blessing. He wants to bless you. He wants to save you. That's always God's first thought. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden and hid himself from God, God did not come out in judgment. God came out in grace. And God didn't come out accusing Adam. He said, "Adam, where are you?" God wanted Adam to recognize the broken relationship. Do you have a relationship with God tonight? The Egyptians that we're reading about here, this happened in the land of Egypt thousands of years ago. The Egyptians had had many opportunities to repent, to trust God, to obey God. They've been given many opportunities, and finally, after 9 plagues, God says, "All right, I will execute judgment." God gives space to repent. What does the word repent mean? It means to rethink. The word, the section in the word repent, the pent section, means, is the Latin word for think. So repent means to rethink, to change your mind. We all have minds. And it's amazing how young we may be when we begin to use our minds, and we need to repent. We need to think God's thoughts instead of our own. Where do we get God's thoughts? We get them from His Word. Egypt had had revelations from God. God had sent Moses to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh had refused to hear. And because Pharaoh refused to hear, the whole nation suffered. And you know, by this time, the nation was aware of what was going on. But time was up. Their opportunity for mercy was over, with one exception I'd like to suggest. We just read about it. We'll get to it later. But God had said, this night, I will execute judgment. You say, well, that's then. That happened way back then. That's not tonight. Turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and this is a story Jesus told. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Now, if this man, we know this is a parable. We don't know for certain this man, this specific man ever lived, but the audience to whom Jesus was speaking knew about this night long ago in Egypt. They were familiar with that story. And maybe they were like somebody here tonight thinking, well, that's history. That happened. But that's not tonight. Here's a man who met this night personally. It didn't happen in Egypt. It happened in his own home, where the Lord said to him, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And you know, what the Lord Jesus wanted us to understand from this is this could happen to anyone here. Because the Bible tells us that God has appointed the bounds of our habitation. And God can say to anyone, this night your soul will be required of you. And let me ask you, are you ready to meet God this night? Are you ready to meet God this night? This man was not ready. He had plans. He wasn't thinking about this night. He was thinking about all the days and weeks and months and years that he thought were going to come. And they never came. I want to tell you, God says, behold, now is the day of salvation. This night, you need to deal with God. Maybe you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's something hidden in your life. Something you've got planned down the road, you've been thinking about, and you need to deal with God about it. And you've left God out of your plans. What happens if God says, this night your soul will be required of you? You see, God has control of these things. He takes souls. Where is He going to take your soul? So, the Lord, God said to this man, this night, thou fool. He left God out of his plans. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So what happens to all your plans if God changes them? They disappear. Scripture says, prepare to meet your God. Every one of us should be prepared momentarily to meet God right now. Well, these people in Egypt, a lot of them were, I've no doubt, sleeping in their beds that night. Well, I imagine there might have been some who might have observed what the Israelites were doing. You know, after all, the Israelites were slaves of the Egyptians. And God was going to deliver his people. And God had told his people what to do to prepare for this night. And so, I have here an illustration, and I hope you can see it from where you are. And if some want to come up closer so they can see it better, there's plenty of empty seats up front. Because my illustrations that I prepare are generally used in much smaller rooms with smaller groups. The children of Israel were told to take a lamb. They were told to keep it for a whole period of time. It was supposed to be a perfect or as good a lamb as they could come up with. They were told to keep it for a certain amount of time. I say as good a lamb as they could come up with because perfect is a relative thing in this creation. It says they were supposed to take a lamb for in a house. And so on. Anyway, at the 14th day, they were to kill the lamb. And verse 7, they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and the upper door post of the lamb of the house. Upper door post of the house. And so you see, in my illustration here, two houses with blood on the door and one house with no blood. Why was that? Well, for two reasons. One, God had only told the Israelites to do this. And the second reason is that there may have been some who heard who didn't obey. And of course, there were some Egyptians who may not have known at all what was going to happen. But there were we have three types of houses here. Two with blood on the side posts and the lintel, and one house with no blood. Why? Why? You know, it's interesting. God could see through the house. But God wanted a testimony. He wanted the blood on the door. Let me ask you a question. You may say that you're a believer in Christ. Can your neighbors see it? Has that blood made a difference in your life so that your neighbors can see it? And so, we have three houses here. And I'm going to move this podium closer because I noticed the microphone is not picking up quite as well as I would like. And you notice that some other differences in the houses. One house seems to have light in it, suggests peace, comfort. And the other house, more the attitude of the house without the blood. Because, you know, there are different types of believers in this world. And you'll find them right in this city. There are those who, they are covered by the blood. But they don't enjoy it. They're not even sure. It's been interesting how many people I talk to I say, are you going to heaven? Oh, yes. How do you know? Well, I don't know for sure. And sometimes they're totally ignorant. It's just their opinion they're going to heaven. They think everything's okay because they feel okay. At least they felt okay until I asked the question. Then those other people that they're just not sure. You ask them, do you believe Jesus died for your sins? Yes. They say, yes, I believe Jesus died for my sins. So are you saved? Well, I'd like to think so. And you know, it's a wonderful thing. God wants us to know what He knows. God wants to share with us all that He knows. Isn't that amazing? There's no possible way we can comprehend all that He knows, but that's the heart of God. We underestimate the heart of God. We just sang, precious, precious blood of Jesus. The blood that was carelessly spilled at Calvary was precious to God. But who knew it then? It says shed for rebels. Does God love rebels? Yes, He does. Why? I often ask the young people I talk to, do you believe God loves you? Oh, yes, I believe that. Why does God love you? Well, because He created me. Are you what He meant to create? Well, no. The reason God loves us is because God is love. It's that simple. Everyone here is equally, individually loved tonight. We don't begin to comprehend who we're dealing with. One who is perfectly holy and yet perfectly loving. Hates our sin, but loves us. Everyone in this room. Scripture says God so loved the world. That's all inclusive. No exceptions. That He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever means anybody, whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Every one of us needs to grow in our appreciation of the character of God. So, God said, and the blood shall be to you for a token on the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. God had promised judgment to Egypt, but He said to His people, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I want to ask, are you covered by the blood? You may not appreciate the blood. Turn to Leviticus chapter 17, please. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. What does that word atonement mean? It means the cover. We need the shelter, the cover of the blood. That's what the blood was for the children of Israel. The blood on the doorposts and the lintel served as a shelter for anybody who was in the house that was marked with the blood. And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now notice how God describes it in the scripture. He says, I have given the blood. Do you despise God's gift? Let me ask you, is God stingy? Or is God likely to give the best? He gives the best. He gave the blood when He gave His Son who shed the blood. You know let's look at it. 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. And verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin. So this blood is a perfect covering. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is a perfect covering. It cleanses from all sin. It's all that we need, because it takes care of all sin. If you are cleansed by, if you're covered by, cleansed by the blood of Christ, could God legitimately keep you out of heaven? And the answer is no. It's that simple. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, the statements of the Word of God are just amazing. They are so simple and yet so comprehensive. So, God passed over these houses. And in the first house, what was the result? Death. No blood on the door. God kept his word. And there was death in that house. And my friend, tonight, you either have the blood or you face death. It's that simple. There's no entrance into heaven without the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God says, I have given the blood. And there's no salvation without it. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us, us who believe, from all sin. Well, the second house represents many believers. They hear about judgment coming. They believe that the blood needs to be applied. But they're not sure. They're not resting in the Word of God. Let me ask you a question. Of these two houses, suppose a family in each house, both houses have blood, which house is the safer one? It doesn't matter how they felt inside the house. You know, this world is occupied with feelings. And you say, people, are you going to heaven? Oh, because they say, I have faith. And they say, when they say they have faith, they're really often talking about their feelings. And that's all they're talking about. They feel good. I heard a politician back in 2016, presidential run. You may have heard the politician himself, some famous politician, won't mention his name, state that he had a great relationship with God. It's the first anybody ever knew of it. But there's lots of people that way. They think they have a great relationship with God because God doesn't bother them. And how many people in Egypt that night might have thought that too? They had a great relationship. They're okay because God had never bothered them until that night. Yes, they'd been through some plagues, but they came through them. But that night, there was death. There's other people who confuse faith and feelings. God had said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. There's two wills, he said. I will execute judgment. That was absolute. But he says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's absolute as well. And the folk in the anxious house were just as safe as the folk in the trusting house because of the blood. That's why the song in heaven is about the blood. It's not us. It's not how we feel. It's what Jesus has done that makes the difference. My time's about up. We've talked about this night. Now I want to talk briefly about this life. What was the problem in this first house? They didn't have the blood. The blood makes me safe. I want everyone here to trust that. To be able to say, someday, Lord Jesus, you are worthy because you shed your blood for me. The blood makes me safe. Never doubt it, because if you've got it, you're safe. God says so. And that brings us to the second point. What makes me sure? The Word of God makes me sure. I want to look at a couple of scriptures in connection with that. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. These things have I written. The Word of God. God put it down in black and white for us. And it's just the beginning. The God who put down this wonderful piece of information has got a book full of riches for us. Don't neglect the Word of God. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know it. You don't have to say, I hope so. People think that's presumptuous to say that you know you have eternal life. So often I ask the young people I talk to, and I can ask the same question every 3 or 4 weeks because there's so much turnover. Do you think it's possible to know before you die where you're going? And most of them will say no, of course not. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to go to the Word of God and produce example after example of people who knew where they were going because God said so. The Lord Jesus told the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. The Lord Jesus told his disciples in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you and I will come again and take you there. He guaranteed their being there. The Word of God makes us sure. Turn to, let's read this verse one more time before we turn to another scripture. These things I have written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Now turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, the world talks about, they love this 32nd verse. You know the truth, and the truth makes you free. But it's interesting, God didn't leave it up to us to decide what the truth is. People say, oh, my truth may be different from your truth. God didn't leave us the option of choosing the truth. What people call truth is more often a lie, and lies don't make you free. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So how do we know? We know by the Word of God. And there's so much God wants us to know. You know, when I raised a family, I had 7 children, and I look forward to the time I could introduce them to the things that I valued in life. When they were 2 years old, did they appreciate everything I appreciated? The answer is no. But as they grew, and as they listened and interacted with me, they began to appreciate more and more the things I appreciated. God wants you to know, to appreciate what He knows and appreciates. That's boundless. And it's through His Word. We know through the Word of God. The Word of God makes me sure. The blood makes me safe. The Word of God makes me sure. When I was in study school, I used to sing a song. Now I can't remember it. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. And I used to sing that song and think, well, I'm not happy every day. Why not? I hadn't learned how. It says He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Learning takes time. And learning involves obedience. Obedience makes me happy. I'm going to close on this note tonight. You have 3 principles for life. Let's turn to John chapter 13 for the 3rd principle. 3 life basics. John chapter 13. This is true. This is a verse that comes back to me time and time again. It's a very simple principle. It comes back to me time and time again. It's a test of our character. John chapter 13 and verse 17, the Lord Jesus said, "If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." Happy or blessed are ye if you do them. That's obedience. You want a happy Christian life? Just obey. We sing about it sometimes. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Now, which house are you living in tonight? If you were back in Egypt, where would you be? Had you been back in Egypt, in which house might you have been that night? Spiritually. And thank God for the salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ.